The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Thursday, 5th day of May 2018. And a little different twist today. I didn't announce it yesterday, but if you're here today, well, then you're going to be able to hear this from a different perspective. Somebody that's been, well, in Russia, but in Russia prior to it being Russia, the Soviet Republic. I have with me today Sonny. Sonny, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, John?
I am doing pretty good, my friend. I am not going to attempt... I will. I'll make myself look ridiculous here. Salius Puzikas? Is that correct?
Puzikas. That's right.
And you were in... and people in this country would absolutely not have any idea, unless they're prior military or current, you were Special Purpose Unit... also known as Spetsnaz.
Yes, I was.
And I've seen some of the training films. a little above and beyond what the Navy SEALs and their buds training. That's pretty harsh, but I've seen some stuff done by the instructors for the Spetsnaz that I had to blink and back it up and look at it again.
Yeah, kind of, you know, the sensitivity, the... all that was not really a big deal back then.
You, the last time that the Soviet Republic was considered to be the Soviet Union, the flag was lowered on the Kremlin on December 25th, 1991. And the following day, I thought that was apropos, by the way. And then the following day on the 26th, it was made official. The Russia of old, or the Soviet Union of old, gone.
Yeah, that was my last year of service in the Soviet military, 1991.
Well, but you joined, I'm trying to get the background straight here, you were born in Lithuania.
Yes, sir.
You entered the military service in the late 80s.
Yes.
And in 1991, the Iron Curtain, as they like to describe here, fell. So why did you get out of the Spetsnaz then?
Basically, what started happening towards the end late 1990, early 1991, because all the signs were already there that, you know, Soviet Union as it was it's not going to last long. It's going to, you know, basically dissolve itself and become something very different. And a lot of very similar units, like the one that I was serving in, were, how would I put it mildly, we were being used as a little private militaries by some very high-ranked officials that were kind of taking advantage of the situation and doing some major business.
Black market kind of stuff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, anything to do with Crimea or anything like that? Just strictly, we're out of a job and we know it, and we're going to do a little business?
No, it was nothing Crimea, but there were a lot of hardware sales being happening with people from different regions of Middle East and so forth and so forth.
Hardware sales? Can we be more specific there? Sonny?
Military-oriented hardware, yes.
Okay, military-oriented hardware. We heard a lot about the possibility of suitcase nukes floating all over the globe, and supposedly... go ahead.
Yeah, that is not the case. You know, for one, the suitcase nuke is not per se a suitcase. Portable devices did exist, not in very large numbers, but they did exist. Due to their design and how they were designed, and like most modern nuclear weapons, they cannot be activated autonomously. All of them have to be activated by very, very high-up people in the central government. So this whole legend of, you know, independently operated portable nuclear devices floating around the world is just that. I mean, it's a great scare tactic, and it's a great story to share around while drinking beers, but that is not the case.
Well, it might be...
That I can guarantee.
It might be fun for, and if that were real, it might be fun for the perpetrators to sit and raise a glass of beer, but here in this country, we have been whipsawed and scared into, I don't know, absolute senselessness. All of this, of course, in our take on it, specifically mine, is designed to just march us toward a police state. We have people that want to see a global order of things. Vladimir Putin turned out to be a major disappointment to that plan. The Soviet Union was not weak then, and it's not weak now. They have the military, they have their navy, they've got the nukes, they've got... In other words, they're not anybody's fool, and they've got the capability to go toe-to-toe with anybody on this planet. But here in this country... And I want to roll on, Sonny. I cannot wait to get into the Middle East deal. And I was thinking prior to the program today. Well, let me see. Vladimir helped out Assad in his country. Got any contacts in the Kremlin? Because I'm half tempted to reform the militia here in this country and ask for help liberating our own country. You know,
we may talk about that off the air.
Okay. Yeah, I'm. You are from a country that has been blanketed in mystery. It's been propagandized. We were Ronald Reagan and the Soviet Union went toe to toe. It started to crack apart. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and we all saw what happened in Germany. By the way, I used to fly security missions over the wall in Germany. And what a contrast between the East and the West. The wall came down, reformed politics, and then took a communist that used to be in the Eastern Bloc and made her president of Germany.
Yeah.
Wow, how the hell does something like that happen?
Well, you know, the more hawkish, you know, I guess the neocons would say that, you know, it was always the KGB plan to infiltrate the West and all that. But, you know, I don't think West needed to be infiltrated, even if there was such a devious plan made by KGB or GRU or any other organizations. I think that some of the old school communist leaders in Soviets, you know, in graves in the territory of Soviets, former Soviet Union, are probably rolling and going, how didn't we think about these things that are being done in the West now? So, I hear when you say the difference between the East and the West. It's just that from my perspective, being here for over 20 years now, it's kind of strange to watch because it's almost like flipping, you know. I ran away from certain things, and it's almost like they came chasing down me down here.
Well, I've heard from many people, and I've jested about this on air, that We might be freer as human beings moving to Russia than we are in America today. We have a country, and Sonny, this is still hard for me to comprehend. I've done the research, I've looked at the history. You know, we've been a country, supposedly we threw England off. Well, apparently not all the way off. They still have their claws in us. But I've looked at this, and for 240-some years that this country's been in existence, we have only known, in total, 4 years without blowing somebody up, finding an excuse to claim that it's threatening the security and the sanctity of the United States. We've only known 4 years of peace since this country had started. And I've heard it mischaracterized, because we've heard the term empire. Well, Rome had an empire, and we know how they did that. They had ships, they had troops, and it was conquest. Whatever they could go and steal and lock down or throw out a government or kill a bunch of people and occupy it, they would do that. That was Rome. Then we had the British Empire because of their ships. They at one point in time, the term "the sun never set" on the British Empire was true. But
yep,
people have called the United States an empire. And I look at this, if you were to build empire, somebody's blueprint was about a half a bubble off plumb here. Because if you're going to be an empire, that means you enrich. That means you collect, you gather, you conquer. You steal, you rob, you make it your own by way of conquest to the victor go the spoils. But if we have been building empire, we've done a lousy job, because the only thing we've got is one gigantic, big, fat debt that we cannot pay off, and we've turned half of the world into a chaotic, murderous state. This is odd for me saying this to a former Russian. But you're here in this country. I am assuming that you have looked at our founding documents, and I assume that you like what you see and what you've heard. But what you've experienced and what you're seeing now through our eyes in this country, you've got to be a little bit surprised.
Probably more than just a little bit, John. And you know, looking at this and how would I say it? Many years ago, when I just immigrated to the States, you know, listening to what people refer to, and they still refer to, you know, the conspiracy theories, the people that talk about the deep state, the this and that, and the police state. And I was kind of looking at that and going, man, Americans have too much time. Fast forward 20-some years, and, you know, the empire that you're talking about, it does exist. But it's kind of like empire within the empire. While the big picture empire, as far as the, you know, geographical and socially known as United States, no, it's not getting enriched. We are in debt that probably we never will be able to pay off. People are definitely not, their individual liberties are not flourishing as the founding fathers envisioned. But someone within this empire is definitely reaping the benefits.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, and looking at this, you know, it's kind of interesting to look at the so-called Western free, and I use that word very loosely, media, talking about authoritarian regimes in Russia and this and that, and the corruption that exists there, and you know, looking at this, I'm going, this is corruption on so many levels, on such a higher level, so much more sophisticated, and also is just in your face, probably so much in your face that many people can't believe it's real.
The bigger the lie, the less believable it is.
Yes, and looking at that, I don't know. You know, this last election of 2016, it's something that, you know, at first when it all started, looking at the people on the stages doing debates and all that, and I'm like, all right, there's one person here that kind of gets it to where this country has to go, and it's not forward, but back towards the roots, mm-hmm. towards what this is supposed to be. But then when the herd, so to speak, thinned out and there were two people left, you know, I will admit freely, you know.
Was it my fiance, Sonny, was the other one a person? I wasn't quite sure.
How would I say? The creature.
The creature. The swamp creature. Okay, we've renamed.
The creature, yeah.
Yeah, we've renamed Billary here.
Yeah. And me and my fiance, we actually kind of like stayed through the night watching, and we celebrated the creature losing.
Yeah.
You know, not because myself and my fiance are like supporters of Donald Trump in big ways. I disagree with so many things. But the alternative was downright scary.
Well,
downright scary. So,
yeah. And this was Secretary of State. I mean, our State Department, Sonny, has been absolutely rotten to the core. Well, going back to the 40s, but they... In the 50s, it was really noticeable for those that were paying attention. And that which we refer to as the deep state, what we're looking at is the actors. They're the people that are carrying out what they're ordered to do. And my contention about this, I don't know if you have anything to the contrary, but we've had a globalist dream that we're going to smash the international barriers. We're going to set up a one-world shop that everybody can sing kumbaya and they can all do business together, but they necessarily have to bring in national law and the respective countries that would join the order, and not voluntarily, by the way, but, but forced into it, that somehow that this was going to be the utopian form of government for the planet. And what people started to discover, that this was going to be based on socialism, because, well, quite frankly, you know this from firsthand experience, communism doesn't work. So you let the average Joe out there think that he's earning a living, even though he's being tightly controlled and regulated. You let him earn some money, and then you steal it right back by way of taxes, giving it to somebody else and putting it in their pocket, just by virtue of the fact that they can hold out their hand. That's not what this country is built on, and I don't like the term that we're capitalist. I like to think that we are a constitutionally, or used to be, limited republic, and you have the ability to contract. You can be a pauper, you can be a king, but it used to be that government, both state and federal, the federal government here now, Sonny, thinks that they supersede and they override everything and everybody. And I think they're missing the point here that we're 50 entirely different sovereign little units that have joined together under the umbrella of the federal government for specific reasons. But according to
very few reasons.
Say again?
Very few reasons.
Yeah, very few. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay. Well, we've got an out-of-control Fed. We have a government that has been waging war on everybody and everything. I guess if you're a warrior, everything looks like an enemy or a potential threat. But we rigged the game here in this country. The president doesn't have to go to Congress. They don't have to vote, weigh the information on why it would be so important to go to a sovereign country militarily to get what the United States wanted. That was for the vote of the Congress, for all to see the reasoning or reasons given why we should go to war. And people were held accountable on their opinion or their vote. But we superseded all that. We made that into kind of like a fast food restaurant drive-through window. The president can just order and then it's done. Now, this last go-around, and I was kind of shocked that they did this in unison, that we had Macron in Paris, we had Theresa May in England, and of course Donald Trump, all declaring that Assad was killing and gassing his own people, and they all said the same thing almost simultaneously, that they're not going to their parliament, they're not going to their political body, we have agreed and we're going to go do this. Hang on a second, Sonny. I've got to take a 3-minute break. This is a very different program today, and I'm so far enjoying the hell out of this. And you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
That song just came up in bumper rotation. That was from the movie Top Gun, where Tom Cruise was going to kill the entire Russian whatever. You know, I have so many questions I want to ask you. One of which, before we get into the Middle East, Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin has been recently described as being the richest man in the world, and he's got a mansion on the Baltic or the Black Sea or something. And
Black Sea.
Yeah, and he's just dripping with money. Anything, is there any resemblance to the truth there?
Zero. Absolute zero. I'm not going to, resented as Vladimir Putin, once he retires from public service, is going to be a poor man, living a poor man life. That's not the case.
No.
He's going to be all right. The mansion in question that people in the West, the so-called free media, likes to talk about is actually equivalent of a Camp David. So it's a government-owned facility, a presidential retreat, for the lack of a better term. How would I say it? This whole thing of villainizing not only Putin personally, but through him, the Russia. And lately, I even will go as far as to say that Russian people is there is a reason why he's enemy number one. And
enemy. Well, I'm sorry. Are you on a cell or a hard line?
he's enemy on many fronts, you know, because he's not dancing to the music. He's absolutely not dancing to the music. And like you mentioned earlier in the show, in your monologue, you know, no matter what the crazy guy, what's his name, John McCain says about Russia being a gas station of Europe, and many so-called experts talking about, you know, how weak Russian economy is and how our Congress promoted and passed sanctions have hurt him and all that stuff. You know, here's the simple reality. That is still the country that possesses the largest nuclear arsenal in the world. In many ways is as advanced, if not more advanced, than the one that we enjoy having here. Their abilities militarily, intelligence-wise, electronic warfare are second to none. And here's the big one. That's the country also with, I believe, 11% GDP to debt ratio. Ours, I believe, is at 107.
Yes. Now, he also did something else. He threw out the international gangsters.
Yep.
Now, Donald Trump wants to make America great. Again, I've read it on his hats. The only way that that is going to happen in this country, and by the way, liberating the slavery, if you will, worldwide in the industrialized nations, is to throw these bankers out on their ears. Do you agree or disagree?
That is the only way. That is the only way. The IMF, the World Bank, these are the organizations that this is the backbone of what we call, whatever people want to call it, deep state, you know, the inner circle, whatever it is. That is the very core of the problem.
Well, we have been we've been given only a couple of choices in which to deal with that, and I'm in agreement with you about Hillary Clinton. This would have been a totally different scenario that we're looking at now. We're almost post 2 years election of Donald Trump. He's done some good things, but he's also backtracked on his pledge for the United States. You know, the United States was laughing at Russia getting tangled up with Afghanistan. You know, here's some pretty gritty people that act more like billy goats on a hillside than anything else. And Russia took a few black eyes over that. And Americans thought it was funny because it was kind of like, well, that was Russia's Vietnam. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay. But we've been at war. But not official war. It's been an undeclared war and coalition police type. Give it a name. I don't even know what the hell to call this. But we've been at it for almost 17 years. We've spent, I don't know, $20 trillion. You can't trust the government when they tell you about the debt that they've rung up. But there's up to 4 million people dead in the Middle East, either by the direct hand of the United States or ancillary damage that was caused by the United States. And we have Assad that invited Russia in to Syria to stabilize his country, to get rid of the factions that were built up in Iraq. A classic example would be Libya. The Libyan people, yep, they liked Muammar Gaddafi. Muammar, you know, this guy, he had a bag full of tricks and a bag full of money. These people over there were not hurting. They liked the guy, and there was something else he was going to do. He was going to go to a gold-backed currency, which the globalists don't like that idea at all because they can't control people that way. All right, I've got another break here. I said it was the fifth man. It was actually the third. Thank you, John, in Cucamonga, and I think that's in California. I just wanted an excuse to say the word Cucamonga. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Things, but Sonny, I seen one thing beats them all.
All right, we are back. We're talking with Silius Pozikas. Did I get it right that time?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good. Syria. Bashar al-Assad knew he had a problem. They were doing the same thing in Syria. As I stated, best example, more information has come out about Libya and how Muammar Gaddafi was, well, he was demonized in this country. And the forces that were funded to take him down, along with weapons that were sent. And by the way, that's what the whole Benghazi thing was over. They had to... Dead men tell no tales. They had to clean that situation up because Ambassador Stevens, as he's referred to, his job was not finished. He got the arms into Libya, made sure the deliveries were made. But once the regime fell in Libya, his job was to get those arms into Syria. and something went very wrong. Hillary was called on the carpet about it, and her infamous statement, what difference does it make now? Well, it makes a lot of difference. I am waiting, as many as millions of Americans are in this country, as million of Americans, I should say, are waiting for the investigation and the charges and the jailing and the prison term for Hillary Clinton. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. The diversion has been set up, the Russian collusion, and on it goes. But Assad knew what was going on. Do you know anything about how that came about with Vladimir Putin being invited into Syria?
Well, basically, from the political standpoint, and again, this is not just political in the sense of, you know, influence in the Middle East. This has quite a bit to do with the pipelines going from Qatar and other Gulf countries into Europe to replace the natural resources that otherwise they were getting from Russia. And besides that, again, you know, here's the interesting fact. I'll come back to what I was saying, but here's the interesting fact. If you look at the Middle Eastern regimes, as we like to call it, which regimes provided the most protection to religious minorities? So let's just say Christians. That was Iraq, Syria, Libya, and old Egypt. Which regimes the Western democracies went after? These are exactly the same names. You know, so as far as Putin being invited, there was no way Assad could withstand what was going on with the amount of money being diverted there to Saudi Arabia, other Gulf states, U.S., Britain, NATO countries, and other players. And really, the only hope, not just for Assad to maintain control of his country and somewhat of a sanity, I guess, of that little country, was to have a major force there. And Russia saw it. You know, our former dear leader, Barak, said something about the lines in the sand. Syria was the line in the sand for Putin. It truly was. And he drew that line, and he did not betray what he said about it. And many people still think that, you know, at some point Russians went in there just to posture and test their new weapons and other little statements being made. This Syria is the biggest geopolitical game of probably the last 3 or 4 years. And it probably will continue for foreseeable future.
Well, and we have indication. Of course, we had Donald J. Trump say during his campaign that he was going to end the regime change. He called it correctly for what it was and what it was happening, and he was going to shut this thing down. Well, we had the bombing here that took place a couple of weeks ago, the attack by Assad using toxic gases against his own people was an absolute lie. But that didn't stop them from doing it. The same thing was said of Saddam Hussein. You know, as long as we could stir up countries and pit one against the other, that was fine, and Saddam Hussein was a useful tool. But once the tensions dropped over there, we had to do something. Now, you've, of course, heard of the seven countries that had to go down in the Middle East. This comes from the Project for a New American Century, Wolfowitz and the boys. They cooked this thing up. Dick Cheney was in on that as well. There is some claim that George Bush, he was just the front man for it, and he wasn't involved in any of the planning, which I could believe because this guy couldn't string two sentences together to make it sound logical or understandable. And I can buy that. This was the deep state actors that were in there setting this whole thing up. But this has not been popular. Two things going on in the Middle East: the Israelis and the ripoff of the lands and putting them in the greatest open air concentration camp ever in human history, I believe. And they refer to it as the Gaza Strip. And the other issue is the United States and what they've been doing in the Middle East. Now, our press in this country is very tightly controlled, very tightly. And, of course, they bring up their contributors on news programs, and they're nothing but mouthpieces for the State Department and or the propaganda arm of the Pentagon. And the American people are, prior to Donald Trump getting elected, we wanted out of the Middle East. We were in Vietnam for too many years. That was a UN setup. That was a war was not meant to be won. Even though China and Russia was supplying arms to the North Vietnamese, they just couldn't withstand the military might. If it was unleashed on North Vietnam, there would have been something, I guess you could call a victory. But that was not the case. So anytime you want to identify a UN operation, just look for a DMZ, a demilitarized zone, and then you know who you're dealing with. And this has been misnamed. They have not called it a UN operation in the Middle East, but it certainly has been, because the blueprint for the coalition forces is feeble at times that they have been. But, you know, the United States wanted to claim support from various countries, and they'd send a couple soldiers over there. They'd stand around and have a few pictures taken. They'd get on board a plane and fly back to their respective countries. But this whole thing has to end. And to be honest with you, I don't know how the hell we're going to do this short of the Second American Revolution, and that has its problems as well. We're not even allowed bump stocks anymore. We got semi-automatic assault-style weapons. But we don't have miniguns. We don't have nukes. We don't have Abrams tanks. We don't have drones. If the American people had a revolution in this country, it would be squashed, and the participants in that rebellion pretty much to the man killed off. So we're stuck here for the moment. People were banking on Donald Trump. He was going to save us. I don't know. Indicators are with who he surrounded himself with, the bankers and the generals. I don't know that that's going to be possible. And you saw who they just brought in. The CIA, Pompeo. Well, there's the joy boys that have been destabilizing, running black ops for so many years. So they decide to bring Pompeo in because Donald Trump thinks he's a great guy. But now we got the CIA as Secretary of State. How convenient.
Yeah, between him and Bolton, yeah, we have an interesting crew there. You know, there's a joke now going around in circles. They say when Secretary of Defense Mattis is the most dovish, you know, peaceful person in that war cabinet, You do have to scratch your head. You really do have to scratch your head.
Well, not if it serves a purpose of he's a little less hawkish and the other ones are more hawkish. He would look like somewhat of a dovish individual compared to the other maniacs that they have in there.
Yeah, and you know what you said about what change can happen here. I would very much like to be an optimist, a dreamer, and say that, you know, well, maybe, you know, the few elections later, maybe, you know, the post-millennial generation will see things for what they are. Maybe this, maybe that. I cannot honestly see that kind of outcome, you know. It's sad to say, but I really don't think that fundamental change in this country is any more possible through elections.
I don't believe that they are either. Because the system has been set up and the system is broken. That's what people were banking on. Tongue-in-cheek joke there. That's what they were banking on, getting Donald Trump in there. That somehow.
Well, the system is not broken. The system is working exactly as it is designed. And I think that's the problem, that we're looking at you know, different individual coming in with some kind of a different views, and he has different things that he says during the election campaign, and it tickles our ears, and we're happy, and we jump in joy, and we're going to be, you know, out of the places that we shouldn't be, where it's none of our business, and we're going to become more free market oriented and all that. And we're only changing the names.
Yeah.
We're not changing the system.
Yeah. Well, and when my reference to the system is, I was in reference to not the democracy that they now claim that it is, but the constitutionally limited republic with the very few reasons why the federal government can act, as you pointed out earlier.
Yeah.
That is not, and I'm in agreement with you, the system has been broken. It is still there. Nobody has walked in and tore up the remaining copy of the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution itself. It's still there. It is still fresh in our minds. It has been eliminated from the schools. One of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, I guess I need not remind you, Sonny, but have free education or public schools and use that as a transmission belt for government propaganda. And that's exactly what it has become. The standards for learning has been lowered. We don't want any children feeling bad, and forget the ones that can excel and prove themselves not to be mediocre and excel. Challenges put in front of young people so they can, well, they can recognize their mettle, what they're made of, and what they can accomplish using their own brains and their own brawn in their own lives. That has totally been eliminated. Now, for lack of a better term, these schools have become snowbanks for the snowflakes.
That's exactly that. Now, you know, within the system, people that oversee the system, they don't need free thinkers. They don't need independently thinking, analyzing individuals. That is against the interest. So, you know, as we were talking about responsibilities of federal government, when federal government takes over education, federal government takes over healthcare, when federal government takes over other things that should be local level issues, that is following directly, verbatim, following what Saul Alinsky wrote about. And interestingly enough, I don't know how many people are aware of that, Hillary Clinton actually did her dissertation on Saul Alinsky. And that often itself should be a big, big warning.
Yeah.
But I guess it isn't.
Well, and the people, the people that pointed out that Barry Sartoro, the birth certificate thing, that is real. The fact that he supposedly attended college and nobody can find any of his professors or college roommates or college classmates, he was manufactured. He was a product of the communist cabal in Chicago. They created that creature. How he made it into the Senate, I don't even remember this guy running and being allowed in the United States Senate. But the next thing we know, to ease the guilt of the guilt-ridden white people in this country, because, well, evidently, to a lot of people's thinking, we're still back in slavery days. It's just so ridiculous. Tell you what, let me take this call. A fellow talk show host on the network, Steve Elkins. Hello, Steve.
John.
Hey.
Great interview. Very interesting.
Yeah, hey, I told you it was going to be.
I know. It's
yeah.
Good. I agree with you both about centralized banking being the core of the world economic destabilization and dependence. But have you ever heard a politician, a U.S. politician, or actually anybody from a different country, speak on our weapons sales export industry, a whole industry that actually is created to destabilize the world and profit? So you look like $30 billion was made last year selling weapons, exporting weapons to all over the world. So, you know, you have a whole industry whose job is to destabilize the world. And then it brings me back to the Bush speech. It was a while back where you can pull it up online. It says, sometimes money trumps peace. And so you just have to put this all together and say, on top of the centralized banking being the core, we have a whole industry designed to destabilize the world.
I totally agree with that, you know. And here's the thing, you know, when you look at the GDP, you know, it works interesting ways because obviously our defense industry, the military industrial complex, is a significant chunk of GDP. But then you look, you know, wars won, the wars that someone wins, it's not a good business. War has to continue. It's kind of like, you know, like a modern medicine. You don't want to heal people. You want to keep them on prescription drugs. You want to keep them coming back, paying more money, getting more issues, and so forth. Same with wars, you know, you destroy shit. You write out the contract for preferably U.S. or affiliated company to rebuild. You also have, obviously, to replenish the tools of war. It's a great pyramid scheme, you know, and as it increases your GDP, it gives you higher ceiling for to basically ask for more money from World Bank or other institutions, and the circle continues. It's a great scheme. It's
Steve,
great business.
Steve, hang on a second. Sonny, hang on. We've got to take this 3-minute break. We'll open up the phone lines in the second hour, but wait for me to say so, because I feel really bad, folks, when I see people calling in and I leave them in queue. It wears on me. I don't like doing that. So wait for the announcement for the phone calls, and we'll open up the phone lines into the second hour. We'll be right back.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I know one thing that at least the United States didn't write: rock and roll. I don't know too many rock bands that came out of Russia. Steve, you still there?
Yeah. Last question for your guest. in that we saw that the Soviet Union had, as far as their military-industrial complex, put most of their resources into their military, and their infrastructure collapsed. I mean, do you think that's I think we're going to be heading in that direction ourselves, because we seem to be putting way too much into the military, and we are letting everything else kind of slide by. So what do you think on that?
I believe, you know, when we were talking earlier about the empire, I think, you know, there's this cliche saying, those who don't study history are bound to repeat it. We are repeating it. And the empires, you know, if you look at the history, all empires at some point reached basically monopoly of power as far as the military power, the ability to influence others, to bend them to their will. And we are repeating that same course. And it does start with the military-industrial complex, because it's when we, you know, we claim we are rich, but when we are spending more than next seven countries combined on military expenses, only for so long you can borrow. Only for so long you can borrow. And when eventually Russia, China, a few other powers in the world will gradually move away from the dollar as the main currency of any transactions, things will collapse quick and very, very hard.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. Great interview, John.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your call.
You got it.
I want to, in next hour, I want to play a Ben Swan. Here's a guy that was honest in journalism. Made his mark. Well, he started here in Texas, went to Columbus, Ohio, took a TV station that was dead last in the markets, and started doing a series called Reality Check, where it stood out as something extraordinary, where it used to be ordinary in this country to do what is called white paper journalism. You know, the who, what, where, when, and why. But both sides, and not an agenda-driven political piece. In this country, the same people that run the World Banks are the same people that own all our media. I've still not had the question I've asked. I have not had a satisfactory answer given to me as to why the United States keeps referring to Israel as, well, their best friends. That well, they're so needed in the Middle East. And I'm suddenly, I look at this and I go, wow, any real journalist out there would be able to ask the questions. And sometimes the absence of an answer is an answer unto itself. What we're used to seeing.
Indeed.
Yeah. What? Okay. Wow, that was timely. And I have not opened up the phone lines, but yet the calls are coming in. When we get back, Sonny, I want to play the six-minute clip as to who are the white helmets and who's funding them.
That would be a good one.
Oh, it definitely is. All right. Well, let's take the top of the hour break. My guest today, former Soviet Union Spetsnaz. Been in this country since 1993. Does firearms training. He's worked on some Hollywood movies as a consultant, and just a bunch of stuff. Very interesting individual. We'll take this top of the hour break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.